The question today is, why did God create humanity? But in order to answer that question, we need to ask another question first, and that is, why did God create the earth? Because the earth and humanity go hand in hand. God created the earth for the human race to live upon. I'm going to give you some inside information into the creation of the earth from Job chapter 38. We have to read between the lines, and we will, but let me state this in my own words first. I think I'll do that. And I'll say that the earth was created specifically to be a stage for the showdown between good and evil. And the human race was created chiefly, mainly, for one individual, and that was Jesus Christ. This is why it was needed. We know that there was a time when God was all in himself. The opposite of that time will be when God becomes all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. But first, God was all in himself. And we know that, we know now, that God is love. God is all the fruit of the Spirit that comes into our life when God sends his Spirit into us. He is love, he is joy, he is peace, he is patience, he is kindness, he is goodness, he is meekness, self-control. But again, nobody can know that. Nobody can appreciate it. Nobody can revel in those beautiful things unless the opposite things exist. And it was in God's mind to create a species of beings that would forever enjoy his attributes. But when God is all alone in the universe, how can anyone enjoy his attributes, seeing as though there is nothing else but him to enjoy his attributes? God longed for fellowship. And so the first thing he created was the Son of his love, the Son of God, who we know as Jesus, the Christ. And he created him anticipating the creation of other beings, created him to be an image of himself, so that these other beings that he would create, that were in his mind to create, could appreciate forever the warmth and the love and the beauty and the glory and the peace and the grace and everything that he is. So the Son of God was the firstborn of all creation, Colossians 1:16. Now, in order for God to demonstrate the depths of his character, he had to stage a showdown between good and evil. This would also be for the sake of the beings yet to be created, subsequent to Jesus Christ. Let's back up a little bit from humanity. After God created Jesus Christ, everything else came into existence through Jesus Christ. This is why the teaching of the non-preexistence of Christ is so detrimental, so harmful spiritually, and it just demolishes the plan of God to, number one, create an image, number two, create the rest of creation through that image, and three, to redeem that creation through the agency of sin and death, well, through the agency of redemption and salvation, but things that could only be revealed unless there are the opposite, sin and death. So it's in God's heart all along to create a species of beings specifically that he could fellowship intimately with. The spiritual beings that were created after Christ, and this is what happened. When Christ was created, all other creation came through him, and there were other Elohim that were created through Christ, other gods. Elohim is a plural for God. We know that there was a great spiritual population, spiritual beings, immortal spiritual beings, before the earth even came into existence. I'm going to prove that here from Job chapter 38. They predate us. They predate the creation of the human race upon the earth. They are very powerful beings, but they have one flaw. And that is, and you won't think of it as a flaw at first, but I want to, you to appreciate that it is a flaw. That is, they are immortal. They don't know death. There is no death apart from this planet. This planet was the place where death would reign and where a race of beings would be subject to death, the horror of death, and subject to sin. Not that there wasn't sin in the universe before, but it wasn't associated with death. Death is horrible. And so God was going to subject a species of beings to death. Why would he do that? Because these beings, who would become known as members of the human race, would overcome death. And because of that intense, ridiculous, emphatic contrast, they would gain a perception and a force and a power far above the spiritual realm, far above the spiritual creatures that God created before the creation of the earth. I have a saying, and it goes like this: the lowest become the highest. This is a spiritual principle. The lower you go, the higher you go. The celestial beings created by Christ before the earth even came into existence, they never knew death, therefore they had never been lowered to the extent that we are lowered to. They're more even. They have an even existence. They don't have the roller coaster contrast of death and life, death and resurrection, of decaying, the horror of decay. They don't know the horror of decay, and therefore they don't know the joy of resurrection, and therefore they don't have the capacity to praise and worship and glorify and thank God that we will have when we rise from the dead. And that will give us preeminence over the spiritual world. The lower you go, the higher you go. You've probably heard me say this, that the spiritual world actually envies us because they know what we're coming into. It's no good now. They're much better off than we are now, but they being having a farther sight than we do, they know what we're coming into. But actually we know what we're coming into, but they have a bird's eye view. So anyway, God created Jesus Christ, and we know that there was a disruption of the first earth, Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim. That's a plural, again, for gods. God created the earth through other gods, including his son. His son is an Elohim, the premier, the first of that breed, and all was created through Christ. But he also delegated creative responsibility to the Elohim. It's a common Hebrew word, I'm not making this up. It's plural for God, the Elohim. And scripture doesn't say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It says, in a beginning, created by the Elohim. The Elohim were the heavens and the earth. This is the first earth. But that earth became a chaos and vacant. And that was due to sin in the celestial realms. There was some sort of rebellion. No, Satan didn't fall. Satan did not fall. Satan was created wicked and evil and an opposer by the Elohim. He was created that way, Satan was, to oppose God. God needs opposition so that his positive attributes can shine out against the opposition. Any author who writes a novel or any screenwriter who writes a movie must have protagonists and antagonists in the production so that the positive attributes of the protagonist can shine, and they can only shine against the negative attributes of the antagonist. So there was evil to be overcome subsequent to the disruption of the world. But the question is, why create an earth in the first place? You have to understand that God anticipates everything. Everything he does, even in its genesis, looks forward to a purpose God has for it. And God created the earth to be a stage for the showdown between good and evil. And as I said, there were evil spiritual beings, malevolent spiritual beings among the celestials, along with his son. And there was, at that time, there was friction. There was opposition between the good and evil forces. I'm telling you, it's as simple as a cowboy and Indians movie. It's that simple. It's good versus evil. It's the most primal, elemental conflict you can have. It's in every novel, it's in every movie. It's good versus evil on some level. It's not a new thing. It started a long time ago. And so God would defeat evil, of course. And after defeating it, he would rehabilitate it. But first he has to create it. He creates the evil, Isaiah 45:7. He defeats the evil, Colossians chapter 1, Christ despoiled principalities and powers on the cross, and then he's going to rehabilitate evil, Colossians 1:20. All created things will be reconciled to God through Christ. Now let's back up that film. God created the earth to be a stage. Let me read Job 38 now. God is pretty much shaming Job here. He's telling Job he really doesn't know everything he thinks he knows. God says to Job, "Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell if you know with understanding. Who determined its measurements? For surely you know." It's mocking the hell out of Job here. "Or who stretched out a measuring tape upon it? On what were its sockets sunk? Or who directed its cornerstone in place? When the stars of the morning were jubilant together, and all the sons of Elohim raised a joyful shout." This proves to you that there were sons of Elohim. There were beings created by God through Christ who were around when this very earth was created. And they shouted for joy because they knew that something great was happening, but they didn't understand anything about it. Only God knew, and probably his son. But I don't think many of them understood, but they knew that this was special. And the earth is special. I'm going to tell you why in Hebrews chapter 9 here in a second. The earth was special because, again, it was to become a stage for the showdown between something that the created beings didn't then understand, but they must have seen God's power and intensity in creating this particular planet, because this is the only celestial creation where it is given to us purposely by God, saying that the sons of Elohim raised a joyful shout, and they shouted for joy. Why? Because they knew that something great was going to happen here. And now let's go to humanity. The earth was created purposely for a stage for a race of beings to come here. But actually, as I said, only one being, and that was Jesus Christ. Because in the battle for evil, God's purpose and his intent is to conquer evil, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. And in order to do that, he's going to send his son against evil, but he's not going to do it when his son is positioned on high at his right hand, because then it's an obvious advantage. And then it would be by might and by power, just like we spoke of earlier. The army God gets up against the Midianites, whatever that guy's name was, going against the Midianites. And David and Goliath, that whole thing. It's another David and Goliath scenario. So God creates a species on this planet called humanity, and it's rare. This is the only place where human beings are on the planet Earth. There might be life on other planets. I don't really care about it. We know there's life among the celestials because the sons of God were shouting for joy at the laying of the foundations of the Earth. All I care about is humanity. That's the most important thing. The human race, the vehicle, that thing that we have that has a head, arms, legs, hands, was created so that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could have a vessel, a vehicle to be put into, so that he could be weak and attackable and vulnerable, so that he could come to the lowest portions of this earth, and so that from that position, and not only that, but he would be nailed to a cross, and from that position, that's when he would take on the evil powers, and they would array themselves against him in the weakest way, in his weakest moment. You remember when Satan tempted Christ, he waited till he was 40 days without food and he was weak. Well, that was a dress rehearsal for Calvary. So the human race, its form, the human race has two arms. Why do you have two arms? You ever ask yourself that? So that they could be nailed to a cross. Why does humanity have a face? So that it could be slapped. Why does humanity have a back? So that it could be whipped. Why does humanity have two feet? So that they could be nailed together to a cross. That's why we are formed the way we are. To give the Son of God a vehicle to suffer in. And a stage on which to suffer. The earth is the stage. The species we know as the human race is the vehicle. And the most important being in this whole consideration is Jesus Christ. So now you may ask, why didn't God just send Jesus Christ? Make him the only one. Make the earth, send him. Well, that doesn't work very well, does it, if you need people to nail him to a cross? And it doesn't work if it's your design to create a species of beings that will be praising you for eternity because of being delivered out of sin and death. And that's the ultimate goal for even the people who nailed Jesus to the cross. Human race is special. It's going to rise above the celestial race, the celestial species, because of the depth of the lowness that it goes to. So God created, the first human being was Adam, but Adam anticipated Christ. And all these people have come down through the ages, before Christ and after Christ, in order to participate in this veil of tears, take on this humiliating form, even though it's fearfully and wonderfully made. It's still made primarily so that Christ could be crucified. That's why we have arms and legs. That was the primary reason. And it's for one person, basically. But God wanted other people to participate in it. Sorry about your luck? No. You're tremendously blessed to be born as a human being. There are many different now categories of human beings. We have those human beings that will be redeemed Israel, and they will rise from the dead and rule on earth. We have a race of human beings that are called to be in the body of Christ, which is much higher than the redeemed Israelites on the earth. And then even among the body of Christ, there are those who will rule and reign with Christ due to their suffering evil with the evangel. Now, I've heard people say things like, well, I'm sure there's other human, there are other beings on other planets. Well, there might be, but there's only one human race. I've heard people say, well, Jesus came to this planet to redeem us. He also probably went to other planets to redeem those creatures, wherever they are on the planet X or... No, this is why. Hebrews 9, verse 26. Yet now, once... At the conclusion of the eons, for the repudiation of sin through his sacrifice, is he manifest. Once. Jesus Christ comes once, and once is all it takes. And where did he come? He came here to this planet. That's why this planet is so important and so critical and such a centerpiece of God's plan, which is why the sons of God shouted when its sockets were sunk and its foundations were laid. Yet now, once at the conclusion of the eons, when Jesus Christ came in 3 AD, whatever it was, the eons started to conclude. The eons started winding down. That was hump day. The eons were building up until then. It was the center of eon 3. Eons 1 and 2 precede eon 3. Eon 3, the centerpiece of eon 3 is the cross of Jesus Christ. And then the eons are winding down after that. At the conclusion of the eons, once Jesus came for the repudiation of sin. It was one time, and it was here on this planet. And he's not only the firstborn of creation, again, he's the firstborn of the resurrection, firstborn of the dead. Even the Israel saints who rule on the earth will have been made immortal from death, and so even they are of a higher rank than the spiritual beings who God created, who shouted with joy at the founding of the earth. Even though they're on the earth, they're still superior. Now, we as the members of the body of Christ, we have an esteemed place at God's right hand. And then there are members who rule and reign with Christ. What about the rank and file of humanity? Those who do not come into immortality until the consummation. They are extremely blessed to be members of the human race. Even the sloppiest, most despicable, horrible person you might see at Walmart, that person is extremely blessed to be taking this form. To be taking the same form that Jesus Christ took when he was on earth. It's a glorious thing. Even the most pitiful person with drool coming out of their mouth or their ass sticking out of their sweatpants, I'm telling you, it is an amazing privilege to be a member of the human race. And they also, I'm telling you this, they will have a deeper appreciation and a higher place even than the spiritual beings who pre-existed the earth by virtue of them being lowered and having to go through this shithole of death and suffering. Ah, but it's a very special shithole. And it's a sanctified shithole. And if you're in the human race, you won the lottery. Just to be part of this species of beings that exists on no other planet, you won the frickin' lottery. I'm talking about people who don't even come to be believers in this life. They still won the lottery, even if they don't come back to life until the consummation, the very last of this species to come into life. They're more blessed, they're more privileged, they're gonna have a closer, more throbbingly gorgeous relationship with God than even the Elohim. Yeah.